All right, we're getting right back into lesson number two, part two of lesson number three, which is striving for revival. And we are right back into the book of Acts, where we've been on Sunday mornings. Acts chapter number 19, if you have your Bible with you tonight. And last week, we began this particular lesson, and we looked at revival occurs when the truth of God is preached. That was our main point. When the truth of God is preached, revival occurs. We looked at verses 8 through 10 last Sunday. We said, number one, under that, the apostle gave a message of reason. A message of reason. We saw that in verse number 8, Acts 19 in verse number 8. Disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And then we looked at number two, that and it's going to be this way, not just in Paul's day, but in our day, that the audience had a mixed response. Not everyone received it, but some did. And so we find that even today. And that was in verse number nine. And then the last thing we talked about was letter C, that Asia was miraculously reached. And of course, this is obviously what we've been talking about on Sunday morning, the city of Ephesus, located in our modern-day Turkey in 2021. So, number two, big number two, we're going to be looking tonight. We'll go as far as we can with the time that we have, verses 11 to 16. Maybe we'll get through both of these next two. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, thank you again for these hymns that we've been able to sing, especially that last one. And I pray that what we sang is true, that you are all the world to us. And I know so many things can clamor for our attention. Some of them are good. Number one, you need to be the best in our life. And so thank you for that song. And it was all of these songs were helpful tonight. Thank you that we have your word. And I pray that you would help us to rightly divide it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number two, revival occurs when the power of God is present. The power of God is present. So we want to preach the word of God. The truth of the word of God is preached. But we also need the power of God. The power of God. In 11 through 16, verses 11 to 16. When the power of God's word is combined with the power of his spirit, then we know something special is going to take place. Now, we know that as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. And as a reminder, who wrote the Bible? What part of the Godhead wrote the Bible? Well, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is indwelling you and is indwelling me. And the Holy Spirit is the part of the Godhead that wrote the Bible. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so we have the author of God's word indwelling us as believers. That's how we can understand the word of God. And that's how many times, well, not many times, but all of the time when you're trying to convince someone who's lost about certain things in the Bible, it's going to be very difficult because they don't have the Spirit of God in them. Now, the Spirit of God enlightens someone who is lost to understand their need to be saved. God brings and draws people that are unsaved to himself, and they have the conviction that they are lost, they're sinners, they're headed for hell, and they need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That does come from the Holy Spirit of God. But as believers, it isn't a matter of us just doing everything in our own strength and in our own power, and then trying to figure out how we can figure out how to have revival. No, revival is from the Word of God, but secondly tonight, it's from the power of God. Of God as well. Letter A, we see in our text that God's power was manifested. God's power was manifested. Look with me, if you will, please, at verse number 11 and 12. The Bible says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of who? Paul. Remember, one of the words that we've been giving on Sunday mornings about the book of Acts is that it is a book of what? Do you remember? Transition. It is a transitional book, okay? It is from the life of Christ. It is from the life of his disciples. Jesus Christ started the church with he and his disciples. And I'm thankful that someone sent me a note recently because, you say things sometimes that you don't even realize you're saying, and I guess I had been saying that that the church started, I don't even remember what I had said, that the church started later on at Pentecost, but we believe that the church started with Christ and his disciples and was empowered at Pentecost. And so if I said otherwise, forgive me, that's not the position I take that we take here at Anchor Baptist Church. But we see here that this is a transitional time, though. The church is brand new, okay? Even though it was empowered at Pentecost, it isn't that old yet. And so here comes the miracles, and the time of God's power is manifested. Verse 12, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I might have alluded to this last Sunday evening. This is a passage that you want to mark in your Bible if you haven't marked it yet. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to come back to Acts 19. We mentioned 1 Corinthians 13 this morning, but it was in the context of charity. We've said this repeatedly, but again, repetition is the key to learning. The New Testament had not been completed yet. And so God used, because God can do whatever God sees fit, God used some sign gifts to validate the authenticity of the message of the apostles. Okay, how do we validate someone's message today? They don't need to speak in tongues for me to have their message validated. They don't need to heal anybody. Does God still heal people? Yes, he does. Okay. But that doesn't validate someone's message. You see, because the preaching of the Word of God is different in the sense of today, we aren't preaching a message that is from necessarily divine revelation. We are preaching the very written Word of God. And so how does somebody's message get validated today? Is it biblical? Is it biblical? I don't have to say, I got a word from the Lord last week. No, I get a word from the Lord as soon as I could read the Bible. Or somebody read the Bible to me. So don't listen to these people that say they got some special word from the Lord. I would turn that down really low. Because God doesn't do anything contrary or apart from his word. Okay, but again, in Acts 19, they didn't have the full copy of the word of God. Okay? And so God chose to do these sign gifts. But look what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. I don't need to give you anything of prophecy that isn't from the Word of God. Okay, I'm preaching, I'm prophesying. If you want to, there's prophecy, which is a foretelling. Then there's prophesying, which is a forthtelling. Okay. But I don't have anything to tell you about the future that isn't in this book right here. Right? It's right here. This is what we go by. The Bible is our final authority. So whether there be tongues, they shall cease. You say, Pastor Turner, there's tongue speakers today. So what are they? Good question. I don't believe in speaking in tongues according to the Bible. Not the kind that we're hearing today. Because tongues is languages. We have a Spanish tongue right over here. Amen? We have a split tongue right over here. This guy can speak English and Spanish. And on it goes throughout the auditorium tonight with other languages. That's tongues. When the people heard the disciples, when the people heard Peter preaching in Acts chapter 2, yes, they heard it in a tongue. They heard it in their own language. And so we need to be very discerning, again, about who it is we listen to. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Verse number 10, it is my view that this is speaking of the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Okay, don't let me confuse you. The Bible didn't just come on the scene and whenever Tyndale and everybody started translating it from other languages into English. There was a Bible. The Bible is forever settled in heaven, okay? It says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So today, we have God's Word. We don't need the sign gifts anymore because we have the Word of God. Okay? So again, I didn't really intend to take all of that time on that. And if you have questions about that, I will do my best in another setting to answer them for you. So letter A, God's power was manifested. Look at Mark 16, please. Mark 16. Verse 19. When the people power, they knew that the message was genuinely from God. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. In 2021, and we're going to say this, I think, later on, we still need the power of God. It isn't that the power of God is weak in 2020 because we have the Bible. No, the same power that we see in the Bible days in the Apostle Paul's life, the same power is needed in my life today. The same power is needed in your life today for us to have victory over sin and to have a godly marriage 24 years and on it goes. We need the power of God in our life. So it isn't that we're saying that the power of God is not there anymore. Oh, the power of God is still greatly needed. What it says in Mark 16, 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere. This is what we need. The Lord working with them. We still need that today. We don't need to go out into this world and work for the church or work for whoever. We need to work for the Lord. We need the Lord working with us. And the Bible says, in confirming the word with signs following. Amen. The important issue to remember tonight as we look about this was that these miracles and the power that produced them was from God and God only. This was not of man. This was of God. Turn quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 5, says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness..." Isn't that something? The God who spoke the world into existence wants to give us his power to accomplish his work. You know, let there be light, that kind of power. You know, we think we have it today when we can say, you know, "Alexa, turn the lights on." Nice try. Okay. Little different. Or whoever's in your house. I don't know if you have one of those gizmos. But anyway. No, God just, I mean, you could just imagine complete darkness and let there be light, and, you know, there's light. We did actually get to see the stars the other night. I think it was Friday night. I stepped out on our patio, and it was clear enough, and all the stars are so beautiful. And the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of stars that are in this universe. God is so powerful. Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This is the key. This is the key. The power is not of men. The power is not of you. The power is not of the church. The power is of God. We don't rely on the sign gifts for ministry today, but we absolutely rely on the same power that produced them. We must have it, by the way. It will manifest itself differently in my life than those in the first century, but I must ask for the power of God. Just to function on a Monday, you need the power of God. Amen. Just to function on a Tuesday, and on it goes. It's not that we just wake up and pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, if you wear boots, and just go at it. No, we need God's power. That power is given us. It gives us wisdom. It gives us discernment. It helps us to be able to be an overcomer. So God's power was manifested. Secondly, we learn that God's power was mimicked. Or copied is what that word means. By the way, you cannot copy the power of God. The seven sons of Sceva, they tried to copy the power of God, and it didn't turn out too well. It was a foolish attempt of these naive and ambitious brothers to mimic the works that Paul accomplished. In other words, they figured in verses 13 to 16 there that there was a magical formula somehow that they could do what Paul did. And they tried to carefully reproduce what they had seen Paul do. Paul had an intimate relationship with the God of all power. Paul walked with God and Paul talked with God, and it wasn't a matter of a trick with Paul. There was a great relationship that was necessary for Paul to be able to see the power manifested in and through him. Look at verse 13 of Acts chapter number 19. Then sorcerers took upon them to call over them which had the evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, you know, the evil spirits know when somebody's faking it. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You have no power. Who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. We have today false religions that include the name of Jesus. They may have it even in their doctrinal statements. They might even acknowledge his name, but acknowledging the name of Jesus is not enough. James writes about that in chapter 2, verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well, but the devils also believe and tremble. So I think the key is here, as we think about this revival, is not to think we can manufacture it. You say, I would never try to do what those seven sons tried to do. Good. I don't want to try that either. Isn't it? If you see what happened to them, don't do it, all right? Hello. But let's think 2021. We don't want to be guilty of trying the same thing in a different era. You know, if we just have the night, and again, I'm not against advertising. I believe we ought to advertise. I believe we ought to give out gospel tracts and all these things. But that's not the power of God. If we could just have this really cool video on Facebook or this really cool video on whatever social media, and we could try to bring people in. And again, those things are not wrong in and of themselves. I'm not saying that. But what we need to make sure we don't get into is that we can manufacture something. No different. It's no different than what was happening here in Acts chapter number 19. They saw something that worked. And you know what? We might look at the corporate world today and say, well, let's try this. It works in business. Maybe it'll work in the church. Again, I'm not saying that we can't think that way and use things and tools as God leads us, but that isn't what the focus is the gimmick or the ad or whatever it may be. No, we need the hand of God on whatever it is. We don't need to try to mimic something that the world is doing in the secular environment within the spiritual confines of a church. So we need to be very careful about that. I recognize that as the under shepherd, that, you know, sometimes you can just see something, even sometimes maybe in a church that maybe leans a little bit more in a direction that we would not lean, and they may be drawing huge crowds. You might think, man, if we could just do that, then we would have that. But is the purpose to have that, or is it to glorify God? It's to glorify God. Again, there in our flesh, there is a desire to grow, and sometimes that's not necessarily a bad thing. You do want to grow. But don't let success be measured by the world. May success be measured by the scriptures. And we know Joshua 1:8 told us, that's how we're successful. Don't let God's word leave your mouth, leave your heart. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then you're going to be prosperous. Then you're going to be successful. So that could be for you, and that could be for me as well. We cannot try and manipulate people. We should not try to manipulate people into following God. Sometimes we think, maybe as preachers, I'm talking about myself, maybe telling myself that if we could find a very emotional story, true, even though it's true, you know what I'm saying? And that's going to be what brings all in the response. No, not necessarily. In season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Turn over to Zechariah chapter 4. Many of you may know this verse. Zechariah chapter 4. We're talking about revival occurs when the power of God is present. We saw, number one, that God's power was manifested. We saw, number two, that God's power was mimicked. And we don't want to try to copy something from the world or even from what we see, even in a good way. You know, I was just thinking, even in a godly way, somebody might be, you know, doing something for the Lord. And it's not up for us to look at every church and try to just copy every church. Let's be led by the Holy Spirit of God. What's right for that church may not be the way God's leading us. And that's okay. That's okay. Look at Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6. It says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. By my spirit, not by your might, not by your power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's what we need. God's spirit working in through us. We must also resist the temptation to adopt a surface level appearance we equate with revival, which neglects the private personal revival that is so needed. Go with me quickly to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. It kind of goes along with what we were saying this morning about the Christian life is about being before doing. That means the inside is cleaned up and right, and then from that we do something, we serve. Matthew 23 and verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Revival is not getting the outside all in order and getting the outside all spruced up, and then we're having revival. No, revival is from the inside out. Revival is me, God knowing me from the inside out anyway, but me telling God, God, you know that I'm struggling with this in my life. He already knows it anyway. God, please work on me. God, clean me from the inside out. I desire revival, but not just putting on a new suit of clothes. You know, I was thinking about it, you know, you go out, or we go out and we work maybe out in the yard raking leaves, or in the garden, or on a construction site or wherever, and we're just dirty. You don't go from that setting in that place and then walk into Tip Top Tailors or walk into Moore's and just say, you know what, I think if I get a new suit, everything's going to be great. They'll sell you a suit even if you stink, right? They won't care. They'll sell you a suit even if I've got dirt all over my face. But you know what? Putting on a new suit to somebody that doesn't smell very good or somebody that's got dirt all over their face doesn't mean everything's right. They need to get cleaned up. And in the same way, we think if we're not careful, we think if we can just fix everything on the outward, not in a sense of, not in literally physically like that, but that everybody thinks everything's okay with me. When that's what Jesus said here. He said, I see right through all this. Revival occurs when the power of God is present. The seven brothers, they were greatly disappointed. I say they were humiliated. I say they were surprised when they copied a formula. We shouldn't be surprised either when our efforts, aside from the presence of the power of God, come short. So that's number two. Let's look at number three. Revival occurs when the Word of God prevails. The Word of God prevails. This is in verses 17 to 20. I truly believe, and we talked about it when we went through it, but Acts 19:20 is what revival looks like. This is revival. So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. That's revival. If God's word is growing in your life and prevailing in your life, that's revival. If God's word is growing in the life of the church and prevailing in the life of the church, that's revival. Isaiah 55:11. I believe I'll read it later, but I'll read it again. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Think about that word prevailing. Another verse is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, which speaks of the word of God being quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What's happening here in Ephesus, and what's happening if we're going to see revival, two things: the influence of the word of God was growing. There's a list of specific individuals whose lives had been changed. Praise God for the change that God's word has made in your life. That's a praise, isn't it? We heard some beautiful praises tonight. But if we're saved, all of us could say, praise God for the word of God. Praise God for the scriptures. Because that's really what's changed us. And so what was happening is that the word of God was prevailing. There were other occults. There were other, even today, of course, we have that. We have spiritual warfare. But God's word will always prevail. It's all powerful. The word prevail is an interesting word. It is often described to refer to a winner in a military or an athletic contest. So this army or this athlete, they prevailed. They prevailed. The New Oxford American Dictionary defines it this way: to prove more powerful than opposing forces. To be victorious. Now, think about that word prevailed in Acts 19:20. The word of God prevailed. The word of God overcame any opposing force. The word of God was victorious. Do you think the word of God's prevailing power has waned over time? No, it hasn't weakened over time. The word of God, what you hold in your hands tonight, is just as powerful as the word of God in Acts 19:20. And when the word of God prevails, there will be revival. Now, when the word of God prevails, what takes place? Let's look at these quickly. Number one, the Savior is magnified. Lift up Jesus. We've got to continue to do that. It's a dark world in which we live, but that doesn't mean we change the plan. The plan has always been the same. Lift up Christ. He will draw all men to himself. Verse 17 tells us that. Look at not that verse, but it tells us they lifted him up. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord was magnified. The Savior was magnified. The word of God was continually and powerfully preached. And the difference between that and the sons of Sceva there was that this ministry, this Savior, Paul was magnifying the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us that in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 20. He said that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. May it be said of you and may it be said of me that our life is a life that magnifies. That means it lifts up. It draws attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happens when God's word prevails. Jesus is magnified. Number two, souls were saved. As Jesus is magnified, souls will be saved. Verse 18. And many that believed. And many that believed. That means there were many people that believed the message of the gospel through the Apostle Paul. Why? Because it was given in the power of God. And because it was given in the power of God, Jesus was magnified. And because Jesus was magnified, souls were saved. This is why we aim to be a first century church. Only in the year 2021. We want to follow, and we're not the, I'm not saying it's about us, I'm just saying this is our goal and has been our focus and vision for 20 plus years. We don't need to be a church of 2021, we need to be a church of Acts, of the book of Acts. And yes, we might have some different methods that they had no clue of in that time, but we don't compromise the truth of the Word of God. And the point is, we want Jesus to be uplifted. We want lost people to be saved. We want God to be glorified in it all. But this doesn't happen just with a scheme or a plan of man. It only comes through the power of God. And it's available as much as it was then. Jesus said, the verse I was quoting earlier is John 12, 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He was lifted up from the earth, wasn't he? At Calvary. A defining moment in all of our lives was Jesus Christ on the cross. We wouldn't have salvation on the cross of Calvary. Praise God for that tonight. Be thankful for the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Souls were saved. Souls were saved during a revival in Samaria. Philip was preaching. Acts 8, 5, and 6. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. What did he speak? Christ. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Souls were saved during a revival in Joppa after Tabitha was raised from the dead. Acts 9:42. And it was known throughout all Joppa and many believed in the Lord. How about the one in Berea when Paul and Silas were there in Acts 17? Verse 12, therefore many of them believed, and also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. I would say this, that as revival comes, we're going to be more soul conscious. I know it's impossible. If I'm revived on the inside by the Holy Spirit of God, then these eyes right here are going to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit once, and that's going to involve being a witness for Christ. If revival's happening in here, it's impossible to contain it. It's going to come out here. It's going to come out here, and as I speak of Christ, or as we speak of Christ, as we share the gospel in whatever way, that will always be a byproduct. The Savior's magnified, souls were saved. How about letter C? Not only do people come to Christ for salvation, but when revival comes, those that are saved are transformed. Verse 19 of our text. 19:19. I remember talking about this a few weeks ago. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. They had stuff that wasn't honoring to the Lord, possibly of the occult, of witchcraft. And they counted the price of them, and it was 50, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. It definitely was valuable in the sense of a monetary amount, but it meant nothing to them now that they were a follower of Jesus Christ. I wonder, what is there in our life that is still a part of our life, even as a Christian, but it really should mean nothing because we're a follower of Jesus Christ? Is there something maybe in my life? Is there something maybe in your life? Maybe it doesn't literally need to be torched, but maybe it does. This is what we see here that's happening. What happened was their belief system. The people who lived in Ephesus did not simply change their belief system. Their lives were literally transformed. Yes, we are welcoming to everyone at Anchor Baptist Church, but we don't want to leave as we come. We want to let everyone come to Anchor Baptist Church, and we've always had that as a motto, but this, we want this Word of God to change lives. We want it to change us from the inside out. And when someone gets saved, Paul said they're a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. How are we walking today? Are we walking as if we are a believer? Wherever there is true revival, there's also true repentance. Repentance is a response to God's holiness and my sinfulness. You ever really just thought about how the holiness of God is so completely opposite of my sinfulness or your sinfulness? And when we think about it and we put it into perspective, we should quickly be willing to repent of that sin. And by the way, repentance is not only at one time. I'm not saying you get saved many times. I'm just saying that repentance is also in the life of the believer. There could be some things tonight you need to change your mind about and stop doing and turn away from them and turn to the Lord. You say, I want revival. Well, what is there in your life or what is there in my life that we need to repent of? You have to talk to the Lord about that. I'm sure he'll let me know. I'm sure he'll let you know too, right? 1 Thessalonians 1:9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Here's a neat thought. In order to turn toward God, what would we need to turn from? Have to do the one to have the other. When the Word of God is prevailing in my life, I will turn from every idol to Him. And God helping me, I'll never turn back to that idol. So revival is available. Revival is available to us tonight. The power of God is available. We need it. Let's strive together in this area. Let's pray. Can we have revival? Can we have something supernatural in 2021? Yes, we can. But we're not out to copy anything. We're out to get close to the Lord. We're out to repent of sin. Again, let's not overlook that. I'm thankful for the long-sufferingness of God in my life and His willingness slowly but surely guide us along the way.